minutes ago. Looking real good in my passport photo.
Amateur Traveler, episode 578. Today, the Amateur Traveler talks about whale watching, lighthouses, a zip line, a strange magnetic hill, some ancient fossils, and the highest tides in the world as we take a road trip through southern New Brunswick. Welcome to the Amateur Traveler. I'm your host, Chris Christensen. I should say that if you're listening to this in 2017 and you're going to be in the London area the week of October 14th, let me know because I will be there as well and I'd love to get together. But first, let's talk about New Brunswick. I'd like to welcome to the show Kirsten Maxwell from kidsareatrip.com, who has come to talk to us about New Brunswick. Kirsten, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
New Brunswick, you were just there. I was actually just there as well, just recently. Why are we talking about New Brunswick? Why should someone go?
For me, it was a big surprise. I was actually introduced to it at TBEX, coincidentally, by the PR person for the area. And it was kind of on my radar, that whole Eastern Atlantic Canada area. Mm-hmm. And there is just so much to do in the outdoors there. And for our family, I have three boys. So for me, that was part of the appeal. It's all outdoors. It's adventure. It's beautiful, stunning scenery. I mean, if that's your cup of tea, I think that it's a perfect place for a visit.
Excellent. And what kind of itinerary would you recommend?
I'd recommend starting fly into one of the bigger cities. So you either start on the western side of the province mm-hmm. or the eastern side of the province. As you know, St. Andrews is on the western side and it's pretty close to Maine. And that's probably where I would start. We did not start there. We flew right into the middle. We flew into St. John's, but I'd start in St. Andrews because you're right on the water there. Mm-hmm. And we started off with a whale watching tour there. We thought that was a pretty good idea.
In St. Andrews?
In St. Andrews, yep.
And I'm curious because we did as well.
Okay.
Who did you go out on?
So we went with Jolly Breeze Tours. We did the tall ships.
Yep.
So is that what you did?
Yeah, with the mast. Yep.
Right. As many people do, but I saw the other little safari boats go out there too, and they mm-hmm. get really close up to the whales. I mean, not that we didn't get close up to the whales, but I think we saw at least six finback whales while we're out there.
Mm-hmm. Finback whales being, I learned on this trip, the second largest type of whale in the world after a blue whale.
That is true. Yep. Bald eagles we saw, mm-hmm. seals, dolphins. I mean, we really saw everything while we were out there. It was a little chillier than I thought it would be.
Wear layers. Yeah. Even on a warm day, I would agree with that.
And they had blankets too, and we had raincoats. We brought everything. We thought we were prepared, but it was a little chillier than we thought. Definitely worth going out because that's where the Bay of Fundy is.
Mm-hmm.
And it's perfect for whale watching season. I think it's late June to September.
I would correct you if I knew.
Yeah. Okay, maybe we'll fix that.
We were just there 2 weeks ago, and it was definitely still whale watching season right now.
I highly recommend starting with that.
Well, and you mentioned the Bay of Fundy, but we didn't mention yet why the Bay of Fundy might be significant. I think a lot of people know, but for those who don't.
That's kind of skipping around because the Bay of Fundy actually features the highest tides in the world.
Mm-hmm.
So they change within a 6-hour period, which is what we witnessed, was the going from the lowest tide to the highest tide, which mm-hmm. it changed where we were. The one day we went, there was a 47-foot difference between low and high tide. So the Bay of Fundy, that's why people tend to go there to witness the change. And then the whales, too, is also part of the reason people go to visit.
47-foot would be a little hard to picture there because that dock would be...
That's not where we saw it.
Okay.
We saw it further up in the Bay of Fundy.
Got it. Okay. You will notice it on a whale watching trip there because the trips are like 3 hours and you get half the tide just in that time period, let alone if you stop and have lunch when you get off the boat. So for instance, when we went there, it was low tide and you walk way out on this dock because the water is not near the shore.
Right.
And then when you come back and then you eat lunch and you go back, the dock is now... All of the places where you went down the sloping ramp are now no longer sloping ramps because
right.
it's very different. And also, as you come back in, you're coming back, you probably did the same thing we did, came back through the whirlpool, where...
Oh, we did not.
Oh, no, you did not. Okay, so the water is rushing back into the bay, creating whirlpools, and they actually took us through that path, and we could see whirlpools around us, not life-threatening or anything like that, but it was a little interesting ride on the way back of that, because it's coming back through all of these little islands that are there on the coast of New Brunswick and Maine.
Yeah.
You are pretty much in view of Maine at that point. And I should say, you flew in, we drove up. So we drove through Maine, and there's a lot of Maine to drive through. So we drove up all the way from New York, and New York to Acadia is about 8 hours, and then you're still probably about 6 hours from St. Andrews.
Okay, yeah. We flew from Chicago because there was no driving that.
Yeah.
It was just myself and my three boys, so I was not going to do that road trip on my own. It's okay. I do crazy things, but not like that.
And St. Andrews is an interesting place historically because it's a Tory town. It's basically was founded by Americans who left after the Revolution because they were loyalists.
That's right.
And so, beautiful little town.
It is.
Where would you recommend we go next?
But we would recommend going to St. John. But on the way to St. John, we would highly recommend stopping at a place called St. Martin's Cave. St. Martin's Cave is kind of a place where you can witness the high and low tides. Mm-hmm. And we stopped there in the morning and the tide was out. So the kids could go in the caves and they were exploring and skipping rocks and everybody was just checking out what the caves look like. And then we left and came back and you could see people kayaking up to the caves. I mean, in the span of about 6 hours, like I said, because that's about the change in the tide,
right.
But the kids' minds were blown. I mean, they were thinking, this is the greatest place ever. But it was really just a cool thing to witness, that whole change in tides there, which is why you go, right? Mm-hmm. Is to see the coming and going of the tide. And like you said, you could see it in St. Andrew. But for the kids, it was the going out, going inside of a cave. And then you really couldn't see much of the cave anymore because it was gone with the water.
Mm-hmm.
But in the meantime, after you go in the morning to the cave, what we did is we went and explored by there is the Fundy Trail Parkway, is not yet to the national park, but it's maybe 6 miles up the road. And it is a 12-mile parkway, so to speak, and you pay to get into it. I don't believe it's part of the National Park Service there because we had to pay, and this year all their national parks are free. It's all scenic viewpoints and little stop-offs and places to explore for the kids. So we did. They had a waterfall that you could explore. They had this really dicey steel cable ladder that the kids like to climb up and down, and they kept asking if you could go into the waterfall, which you could not. There was a suspension bridge over Salmon River that's up there. There was a flower pot rock, like those rocks that are kind of the inverted, standing up out of the water kind of rock. I mean, the kids just kind of like to get out of the car as we're going along, and they'd spot something. And you can kind of go off and you can hike a little bit. There's a convenient place to park your car. And we just made a little bit of an afternoon of that before we returned back to those sea caves to see the change in the tide. So it was kind of a good little side trip while we were in St. Martin's and before we headed on for the night. So I'd recommend doing that for sure.
And you say not all the way up to the national park. That would be the Bay of Fundy National Park, which is, well, it's in the east corner. I guess there's more north of there.
Yes, it's further east along the coast. Mm-hmm.
Towards Nova Scotia and PEI, Prince Edward Island.
Yes.
Okay. Excellent. And where did you go next?
After that, we stopped in Alma along the way, which is just a small town, and it's the entrance to Fundy National Park, and a lot of people will make that their base for if you're going to camp or stay the night there.
Mm-hmm.
We're not really the big backpacking hiker kind of family, and mom doesn't really feel good about doing that when I have three kids by myself. So we did the easiest trail, which was called the Dixon Falls. It's a waterfall, so it was maybe a 20-minute hike to see waterfalls. It was really pretty, but there's tons of waterfalls throughout the park. I think there's something like 20 different waterfalls. You can explore different trails. People go hiking overnight. It's huge. It's the whole national park that's there. And we didn't stay there. We just stopped in town. We had lunch at this cute place called the Octopus Garden Cafe. Highly recommend. They had good. I know, right? Because it's the name that kind of grabs you and draws you in because you're like, oh, that sounds really interesting. They had really great pasta and bread and good hunger food that was different from all the seafood that you see everywhere else. in New Brunswick. So highly recommend that. And then we went on from there to Cape Enrage, which is known for its lighthouse. It's one of the oldest lighthouses in the area, but it was this really spooky day where it was all fogged in. So you're driving and I've never been there before. So you don't know what you're going to get. And you're on these windy roads and you have no cell phone service. Kind of not the smartest idea I've ever done. But we were going to Cape Enrage because they have a zip line that looks out over the Bay of Fundy and the lighthouse. And I'd seen it maybe a year ago on somebody else's website, and I can't think of who it was, but I thought that is something we have to do. So we made the drive up there, and it was definitely not a place I'd recommend if you're just going to look at the lighthouse. But if you're going for the zip line, go for the zip line. I mean, it was fun. They have rappelling there. I mean, you can rappel down the side of the cliff. Thankfully, the fog burned off and we had great views of the bay while we're zip lining. So I would definitely recommend it because it's kind of on the way as you're going back to St. John.
When you were talking about the Bay of Fundy National Park, you were talking about how many waterfalls there were. And we should say, we haven't talked about what the landscape looks like in New Brunswick.
Yeah.
But as you're driving through with no cell phone service, I'm guessing there are trees everywhere.
Everywhere.
This is a very, very green place. And especially as you're coming up the main highway there, up Highway 1, which isn't anywhere near the coast.
No.
Except it's St. John. From St. John North, rather. It's not near the coast at all. And you're just in a sea of trees. So there's trees, and then further in, you get more farmland, but a very, very green place. So it's not at all surprising. If you look at a map, a lot of water, a lot of green. And so it's not too surprising to see a lot of waterfalls. They get a fair amount of rain.
They do. And it's interesting. I mean, when we were doing the trailway, we would look out at some of the viewpoints, and it reminded me a lot of Lake Tahoe. I mean, where you have the tall pine trees, and you're looking out, and it's not the ocean, it's the bay. But I mean, it looks like Lake Tahoe. It's beautiful. It's blue skies. It's lots of green trees everywhere. And they're huge, massive trees. So you're right. That's exactly what it is. And then the highway, this one big highway, and there were no other cars on it. And my kids kept asking me, where are all the people? It's really kind of surreal when you're driving it and looking around and thinking.
Oh, I think we saw more cars than that.
Did you? Okay, because then when we were there, there were not very many people.
So when were you there? Let's talk about time to go.
We were there the last week of July.
Okay, interesting.
And it was not very crowded.
Well, the funny thing is we were there the first week of September, just after Labor Day. And what we found in Prince Edward Island especially, but also somewhat here, is the tourist season is over.
Right.
That basically right after the Labor Day weekend, places close. And so I'm surprised that you didn't see more people than we did, because we were there definitely after the tourist season. It was still lovely weather mostly. We did have some driving rain one day, but we just kind of rearranged our schedule to be driving during the driving rain, not hiking.
We got pretty good weather. Mm-hmm. So I would think probably maybe mid-July to September, it's going to be... Like I said, I didn't think there were that many tourists there.
Hmm. Interesting. Excellent. And one thing that we actually went past that I should give a nod to is we actually went to a hot air balloon festival that they have in Sussex in the first part of September. Unfortunately, it rained out the day we were there.
Oh,
they kept putting it off. It wasn't raining enough for them to say, we're not going to do it, but they just kept delaying it a half an hour. We're going to decide in an hour. And so finally, at some point, it's getting dark. It's like, no, they're not going to do this today. But the Sussex Bakery that's right there is very good. So we did enjoy that, but did not get to the Hot Air Balloon Festival. But I know they have one, and it was highly recommended by the tourism people that we ran into at one of the welcome centers, one of the welcoming people at the welcome centers that helped us book our whale watching tour and such. So they can be quite helpful if you're looking for things to do.
Absolutely.
Excellent. Where to next?
Next, we went to Hopewell Rocks, which is probably the most famous spot in Bay of Fundy, because it's the complete experience of the high and the low tides, and everybody knows it from the pictures of the rocks that look like they're about to tip over as they come up from the ocean floor. What I would recommend is if you do this, bring either a change of clothes, an extra pair of shoes, a towel. It's muddy.
Sure.
This is lessons learned. You can walk down there, or you can take they have a little train kind of thing that goes down there. We walked down there, and then we realized, wow, we want to take the train back up, which was fine. They have a little kiosk that sells little tokens to go back up. But it was worth the journey to go down and see it and you can say you walked on the floor of the ocean, because there's seaweed and kelp and little creatures all over the place. And my kids thought it was awesome. But everybody else is there too. So it's not like you have it to yourself.
Right.
But I mean, it's one of the top tourist attractions for a reason. And we did not make the time to come back later in the day because we'd already done that at St. Martin's Caves. But I think that's the reason people go. It's a go in the morning, you see it, and then they either go out on a tour later in the day and they do the kayaks, or they come back on a boat tour and they can see the difference. This is where it was the 47 feet the day that we were there between low tide and high tide. And I thought that was just fascinating just to look and see, because we did look at a picture later that day of where you could see how high it got up on the rocks. And it's just kind of, how does that even happen? I mean, it's fascinating to think about. So I would highly recommend, that's probably one of the top things the kids remember from the trip, was just walking around in the mud and the kelp beds. Or I don't even know if it's kelp, seaweed, whatever it is, but they loved it.
So we missed it. And one of the reasons we missed it is we were trying to go to that Rain Down Balloon Festival. But the other reason is we looked at the tide schedule and realized we were going to be there at the wrong time. It was going to be high tide. I think it wasn't going to be low tide, or it just wasn't quite the right time. But we also had done something instead. I'm going to cheat just a little bit here. I'm going to go out of New Brunswick just into Nova Scotia. If you're near the other side of the bay from where you were, is the Joggins Fossil Cliffs National Park and UNESCO World Heritage Site. And you're really close to New Brunswick, so I don't feel bad adding this. It's much easier to get to here from Hopewell Rocks than it would be from Halifax, for instance. Just outside of Amherst in Nova Scotia, this particular place is where you can find the most fossils from the age of coal, so 300 million years ago. And so this is when trees have just invented bark. And so when they fall, they don't decay. And because they don't decay, because bacteria haven't figured out what to do with this yet, that's the reason why we have coal deposits, basically, is all these trees piled up and turned into coal. But it also is where the oldest reptile in the world ever was found. And it's been the oldest reptile now. They found this 150 years ago. Was it Joggins Fossil Cliffs? It's very small. This is the age of amphibians, when the largest reptile is maybe a foot long, probably a little less than that. But you can walk there, and we did the half-hour walk. You walk down the hill to the beach at low tide, because this is, again, Bay of Fundy, so high tide, there is no beach. And so at low tide, you walk down and you look at the rocks on the cliff, and they very quickly pointed out, so those are fossilized trees there, and this is fossilized plant matter here, and we weren't going to find any reptiles. That'd be very unusual. Here's fossilized fish poop. You know, first of all, of course, your kids would love this. It's the, touch this, what do you think that is? Literally everybody in our party of four found a fossil within 5 or 10 minutes. And just kept finding fossils. It's like, oh yeah, look, here's another fossil. And you just leave them on the beach. They belong to the national park. But definitely something that I would recommend.
Okay, very cool.
Cool. Where to next?
We went to St. John, which is a pretty large city, and it's right on the water. So it's the only city, I believe, that's a large city on the Bay of Fundy. And they're known for their farmer's market. So it's one of the oldest continuous farmer's market in Canada. And you go in there, and it's really pretty, and it's very decorative and very farmer's market-esque. So that's kind of fun to walk around and see. And, you know, my kids were not amused, but I love farmers market. So for me, that was a fun kind of thing to do. They have a boardwalk there that they have concerts during the summer. So that was fun. We could go out even when the rain, they still had a concert going. They have restaurants up and down the boardwalk. They have a museum there that's the New Brunswick Museum that was fascinating because they have the whale skeleton there, like the Hall of Great Whales. And kids are looking up in awe. Like, I mean, you realize how massive these whales are when you visit a, you know, a place that has the whale skeletons. But like, the kids really just kind of like walking around the town. It's a cute, charming, almost European-esque old town center. Some parks, and we only stayed there for a little bit less than 24 hours, but I'm sure there's more to do than what we saw. But I would highly recommend visiting there just to see it, and it's one of the larger cities.
Now, that's interesting.
It makes for a good overnight.
We heard recommendations to skip St. John because it was just more industrial.
Oh, interesting. See, I thought the downtown area was very charming.
Interesting to hear. Okay.
One night is good.
Okay.
And it's a good halfway point as you're driving through New Brunswick.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought it was a good stop. After that, we went to Moncton, which is the largest city in New Brunswick. But that, to me, felt like a very large city. So they had one main street, which was where the hubbub was, if you will, of tourism.
Mm-hmm.
And there are lots of bars and restaurants, but I couldn't see much more that I would really go there for. We did one fun thing there that I will recommend if you've never seen or experienced a magnetic hill. Do you know what that is?
We have one like it out here called the Mystery Spot. And we had to laugh when we heard about the magnetic. But you went. You have to tell us about this.
Okay, so I did go. And again, I'm traveling with three kids, so they find things really fascinating. So you go up this road and you put your car in neutral. And you just kind of, you take your foot off the brake and the car starts driving itself backwards up the hill. And for me, I'm not a very good driver when it comes to driving in reverse, nor am I obviously a very good steerer because there are people walking down the road next to you and I can't see very well. I didn't hit anybody. Let me just clarify that. But my son is videotaping me doing this and I watched back the video and I'm thinking the entire time I'm saying, I'm not very good at this. But it is a crazy experience to have your car driving itself backwards on its own.
This is actually not what I expected.
Oh, okay.
Okay, interesting. I guess I didn't get the whole story.
Okay, so that's what it is. And so it drives you 100 yards, maybe a little bit more, backwards up a hill. And then you can park and you can get back in line to do it again if you want. My kids were kind of like, no, one and done is good. But it was a fun experience. And I'm still not through processing what exactly happened. It was just kind of unnerving after... After we did it, I kind of have to look back and think, I still don't know how that happened, but it did. And other people did it too. And it's just kind of one of those fun things to do there. The other fun thing we did in Moncton was we did a street art scavenger hunt. I'm really into street art.
Okay,
and
it
was everywhere. They have a festival there. I think the last time they did it was last year. Mm-hmm. So they may have had one this year too, but where they have these famous artists come in from all over the world and paint their buildings. And we would find them in the most random places. You'd walk and turn around a corner and there'd be this gorgeous piece of street art on the side of a building. And we kind of did a scavenger hunt with that with my kids and they loved doing that. So I loved the street art there and I thought the Magnetic Hill was great. And then we had some food at some great restaurants. And I know you said you're going to ask me the names of the restaurants.
I
will say Pump House Brewery and Titan Boar. Titan Boar was the other one. They had really great ribs that they cooked out, like got them out, started Friday morning smoking them. They're really good. So
with the street art scavenger hunt, was this an organized thing?
No, that's me.
Okay.
I'm a teacher trade.
So I shouldn't expect to walk into the tourism board and say, give me the brochure for the street art scavenger hunt. Although if they're smart and they're listening to this, they'll be making that brochure right now. So
that's next on their list. Yep.
Excellent. Cool. What's next?
That's it. That's what we finished up.
And that was roughly a week long itinerary.
Yep.
Cool. What surprised you about New Brunswick?
The beauty. I mean, everywhere you looked, it's just green. Like we talked about. I mean, it was so green. It's just everybody's outdoors. I live in the suburbs in Chicago, but it's the suburbs. It's not about hiking and being in the nature. I mean, my kids, if I would have let them, we would have been rock skipping every day.
Sure.
Anytime we were by the water, there were rocks and they were skipping. We don't travel with electronics. And when I say that, I mean, my kids don't take electronics with them. It's a completely unplugged vacation for them. Not so much for me because I have to work. At least that's the excuse I give them. So they don't have anything to do, which is kind of a nice thing for them to get back to nature and me too, because obviously I'm there with them. But for us to just kind of be out there hiking, seeing waterfalls, exploring caves, it was just really an outdoor, unplugged adventure. And it lent itself so well to something like this kind of a trip where you didn't worry that you didn't have television or a phone in your hand. It was
a signal.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Well, that I did worry about the whole time. Where are we going? They were building the little, I can't think of what they're called, the rock statues that they make that you yeah. make with flat rocks. And they loved doing that. Just make little sculptures on the beach. I mean, they didn't worry that they didn't have their phones, which was very refreshing. So it's the perfect place for outdoor adventures.
Okay. Any place you stayed that you would recommend?
The Algonquin Resort in St. Andrews by the Sea.
Oh, okay. The nice one.
Yeah, it was beautiful. And my kids never wanted to leave. Just it's a charming old time Victorian resort. And they had an indoor water park. So my kids
wow. okay.
can't complain about that. And they had their own private beach. And they had very nice food service there. They had a hotel dog, which my kids loved. They had board games for the kids.
They had a hotel dog.
Yeah, it okay. was super cute. So somebody obviously takes care of it because it would come in the morning and leave around 6 o'clock at night. They had an outdoor pool too. I think they have an affiliation with a golf course there. So yeah, it was just a really nice property and it was lovely. So yeah, we had a really nice stay at that hotel.
Excellent. Well, I should give a nod to, we stayed in an Airbnb in St. George. And honestly, I wanted to move in.
Really?
Yeah, just very, very nice apartment, whole unit to ourselves, top of the house, washer and dryer and everything. So it was, I could live there.
Yeah. I know. I would definitely go back, and I tell people, about, when people tell me, oh my gosh, I saw your pictures, I want to go there. And I think, then I did my job. That's right, kind of right. what I wanted to share was what a great time you could have in New Brunswick, because I don't think a lot of people know about it. It's kind of off the beaten path, and we really enjoyed it.
Well, and then let's be fair, too. You can't cover New Brunswick in a week. So what we've really covered is the southern edge of New Brunswick. We really barely scratched the surface, but it's easy to spend a week there and have a good time. And this is southern New Brunswick. Sometime we'll talk about the rest of the province, but there is certainly more to see than that. I can't tell you what it is. I have only been to New Brunswick on this trip. So, okay, before we get to our wrap-up questions, what else should we know before we go?
If you are told that you should go see the giant lobster in Shediac, it's on the border as you're driving towards Prince Edward Island.
Yep.
Feel free to skip it. I'm sure that it makes many guidebook recommendations. I mean, if you like kitschy things, it's not really a live lobster. It's a big statue of a lobster. So we fell for it and we went and did it. But
so you would have to do that. My wife and daughter have to have their picture taken with big food. It's a collection of photos now at this point.
There you go. Now you know where it is. So we would probably not do that again. But that's about it. My kids were so funny because they just kept asking, where are all the people? Because once you got outside of the cities, it really did not feel very crowded. Again, sure. Granted, we live in a big suburb of Chicago, but it did not feel crowded. So that was nice because sometimes you go on vacation and it feels really crowded. So that it's a nice getaway.
Well, and I should say that if you do skip the big lobster, but you drive up, then do stop in Bangor, Maine and get your picture taken with the big Paul Bunyan. So.
Oh, well, there you go.
then you don't necessarily have to do the big lobster.
There you go.
Excellent. Wrap-up questions. You're standing in the prettiest spot in all the New Brunswick that you saw, at least. Where are you standing? What are you looking at?
I think it has to be the spot on the Fundy Trail Parkway where I thought it looked like Lake Tahoe. It's okay. Maybe about 6 miles into the trail and you drive past it and then you stop your car because you think, oh my gosh, that spot is the most beautiful view I've seen in a very long time.
Excellent.
You'll know it when you see it.
One thing that makes you laugh and say only in New Brunswick.
Oh boy. Anytime anybody would say A to me, I think that's funny. Because I think my kids and I generalize that all Canadians say A at the end of a sentence. But anytime they did say A, it would make us crack up.
I would have to say, for me, it was the surprising variety of types of poutine that I saw when we went to the balloon festival in Sussex. Because we ate there because we're waiting for them to do the balloons. So there's the regular poutine. So you're talking about French fries and gravy and curds.
Yeah.
But then they also had, for instance, Thanksgiving poutine that had cranberry sauce and I think maybe even turkey on it, as well as at least 12 different types of poutine. So a lot of things with fries there and in Prince Edward Island.
Now that you mention it, we did have a shepherd's pie poutine one night. So.
There you go. There you go. I had the barbecue beef poutine in PEI, and that was actually pretty good. But I would say that week after we got back, we didn't eat any French fries because we had quite a lot of fries.
You were overdosed.
There's a lot of potatoes up in that area. So
There are.
Excellent. And if you had to summarize New Brunswick in three words, what three words would you use?
I mean, it's almost like awesome outdoors experience would kind of sum it all up, because that just
that
goes
is three together. Words that completely qualifies. If people want to read more about your travels and specifically your travels in New Brunswick, what web post, what blog post would we recommend they check out on your blog?
Sure. So I have a post on my site that's actually called Must-See New Brunswick Road Trip Stops.
Excellent. And your blog again is?
KidsAreATrip.com, and it's A-R-E-A, kids, A-R-E-A, trip. And I don't even know why am I spelling it out.
We'll link to it in the show notes and to that particular blog post. Kirsten, thanks so much for coming on our show. Our guest again is Kirsten Maxwell. Thank you for coming on the show and sharing with us your love and your kids' love for New Brunswick.
Thank you for having me. It's been a blast.
In news of the community, I'm just back from the TBEX Travel Blog Exchange Conference in Killarney, Ireland, where I saw several of you, actually, and several of the guests who have been on the Amateur Traveler, including today's guest, met for the first time in person. Had a chance to meet some of the guests that we'll have on over the next couple weeks as well, and that was great fun. And again, if you're going to be in London during the week of October 14th, 2017, do let me know. Drop me an email to host@amateurtraveler.com. I'd love to get together with some people while I'm in town. I'll be there on business. I'll also be at the Albuquerque Balloon Festival this coming week, although that's going to be a pretty quick trip, so probably not as much chance to meet up then. And then, of course, I'm going with seven or eight of you to India here in not all that long. Got to get some trip t-shirts printed out here pretty quick. Speaking of travels, I heard just this morning from Justin, who said, "Hello, Chris. I've been an avid listener of your podcast, and I listened to several of them repeatedly for the trip I'm now on to Central Asia. I've been listening to the one you did in August about Uzbekistan, and I am there right now." And he wrote because he says, "Now I'm at the hotel in Samarkand. I realize I am literally steps from the Plov restaurant your guest referred to, but I still can't find it." And so he went on to ask for some directions to see if he could track down that restaurant with great plov. And I sent that off to the guest that we had on the show, Latish. Let's see if he can help out there. But I'm not used to getting requests for restaurant directions while people are traveling. But I love to hear when you're actually using the show to plan your trips. With that, I'm going to end the show because I've got a lot to do to get ready to leave town again in 3 days. If you have any questions, send an email to host@amateurtraveler.com. Remember that we're still planning some trips for 2018 and 19 at amateurtraveler.com/trips. And join us in the Facebook group where I talk about things like possible meetups. And that's the facebook.com/amateurtraveler. And thanks so much for listening.